word today as we dive into your teaching. I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Thank you for this season. It is a beautiful season. It is a joyous season, and I pray that you would make it incredibly spiritual for us as we just look to see what your word says today about colors of Christmas. We pray that today in your awesome name. Amen, amen. We have another Sunday to talk about the colors of Christmas, about this season specifically, and I've said it every week, but I really do love this season, and most importantly, I love what the season represents and what it should represent. It's not about the consumerism. It's not about the materialism. It's not about how many gifts we have under the tree, but the fact that we know who the reason and what the reason for the season is. And so we have been talking about the different colors the last few weeks. The first Sunday of this series, we talked about Blue Christmas, and we dealt with the sadness and the depression that many people are challenged with. This is a particularly difficult season for a lot of people, and so we address that. And again, still so many people are responding to that teaching. If you haven't heard it, if you're just getting in or finding out, go to our podcast at thechurchcove.com and you can get caught up there. And then last Sunday, we talked about a white Christmas, dreaming of a white Christmas, and the fact that forgiveness is our gift. If we will repent of our sin, then he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of that sin, and we're all dreaming of a white Christmas. So, what is today's color? What are we going to talk about? I have received quite a few messages on social media. People have been texting and asking, what is the color? Trying to guess, trying to figure out what the color is. My kids are being driven particularly crazy because I don't tell what I'm preaching. I don't talk about it all week long. It's just my weird thing. It's in my head. It's in my heart. I'm working it out. So they're asking, what is next week's color? And Elle thinks she knows what the color is. Jude has decided it's yellow snow. But lots of guessing and trying to figure out what it is. Take a listen and you'll hear this week's song.
Joy to the Lord.
Oh, Lord, with me.
The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room.
Yeah.
minute. It's good.
And makes his blessings flow. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the joy hosts proclaim. Glory to the King while the angels sing.
All right. Joy to the world. Fantastic. Miss Whitney Houston, one of the greatest vocalist talents that ever lived. One of her best songs. Fantastic. Joy to the world. That's what we're talking about for a little while today. And I know you were listening intently. I saw you waiting. Where is the color? Didn't hear a color. I mean, week one was Blue Christmas and week two was dreaming of a white Christmas, but what is the color of joy? That's what we have to figure out today together, because this entire season of Christmas is the fact that we have been given this incredible gift in Jesus, the incredible gift of Jesus. I don't know about you today, but I realize how blessed I am. I hope you know how blessed you are to be sitting in a house of worship on this December Sunday, to even have the right frame of mind and understanding of God's goodness in my life, that I can lift up my hands and be thankful unto God for all that He has done for me. Is anybody thankful today? It's joy, it's joy, it's joy unspeakable. Because literally God sent His Son to the earth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. It's the greatest gift. It's incredible. And symbolically, to represent this great gift, during this season, we give one another gifts. That's really where gift giving and gift exchanging came about. That's how it all sort of came to be. And I know it's gotten really crazy, and I know it needs to be reined in, and we need to be reminded year after year that, you know, it's not about all of that. It doesn't have to be, you know, some over-the-top idea or something. But the reason that we're expressing love to one another in the form of some token or some expression, some little gift, is because of the gift that we have been giving. And the truth is, we should be giving gifts all year long and not in just one particular season. You say, wait a minute, I can barely afford this season. You want to do this all year long? No, I'm talking about the gifts of love and the gifts of kindness and the gifts of patience, the gifts of just giving one another a break and just giving one another another chance. Those kinds of gifts, those are the gifts that we should be giving all year long because of how and what we have been giving. Really, that is what life is all about. It's about gift giving, and each one of us possess something to give. It's joy to the world. We are that joy. Look at someone and tell them, I am Christmas. I am Christmas. That's what we're teaching for a little while today. I am Christmas. I am a gift to every person I meet. I am an expression of love to every person I meet. I am the face of Jesus to every person I meet. And I hear you still. What is the color? I chose green as the color for this purpose. Why? Well, nothing says giving like green. I set y'all up and just knocked you down, man. Joy, joy is green. And I hear someone saying, I knew it. This is a money thing. Actually, no, it's a you thing. It's a you thing. So happens that you have the money, but it is a you thing. Because if each one of us in this room today would get excited about the gift that we are, if we would realize, wait a minute, I am a gift. I'm a gift to the people I work with. I'm a gift to the people I live with. I'm a gift to those I go to school with. I'm a gift to those that I worship with. I am a gift. And if I would see myself in that light, I would realize just how much I have to give and how much I can do. And I hear you saying, great, great, because I don't have any money to give. But you know what? You have plenty of you to give. You have plenty of you to give. Do you realize today that this day is a gift? We've been given the gift of today. December 16th, 2018, is a gift you will never get again. And once the gift of today is gone, it is expired, it is over. The question is, what did I do with the gift that I was given today? Did I waste it? It's still unfolding, so you've got time to make good decisions with the rest of today's gift. But what did I do with yesterday's gift? Did I waste it? Did I spend it frivolously? Did I spend it in anger? Did I spend it in frustration? Did I spend it in aggravation? How did I spend my gift? Well, isn't Jesus, you know, the joy to the world kind of thing? Sure, but how do you think the world will experience Jesus if not through us? How do you think the world will see Jesus if not through us? How would they know who he is if you and I are not living the life that he has promised and said was available? So my heart today is that this message and this season will inspire you to give of yourself literally, and just realize again that we are Christmas. We're Christmas. We are the gift. Here's what I want you to grasp today, because this is important. The value of your life isn't determined by how much you achieve or accumulate, but by how much of your life you give away. The real value of your life isn't determined by how much you achieve or accumulate, but it's by how much of your life you give away. I know that's in direct contradiction. It literally argues with culture that says, come on, let me get what I can get. Let me see what all I can stuff into my pockets. Let me see what all I can hoard and hold on to and what I can stash away, because it's all about me. It's all about what I can achieve. It's all about what I can accumulate. And yet the principle of the word is, no, it's not about how much you achieve. It's not, you know, if you gain the whole world but lose your soul in the process, you've not really gained anything or accomplished anything. So what if we would live our lives by saying, you know what, how I'm going to determine value? It's going to be how much I can give away. It's going to be what I can do for others. It's going to be the difference I can make in someone else's life. And the real challenge of our lives is to find this balance. It's to find this balance. To say, you know what? How much is for me and how much is for others? Because I'm not saying that you should just, you know, earn your paycheck this week and then, you know, just give it all away. No, you have to live life, and no principle in the Bible and no call or mandate from God is at all suggesting that you are not blessed or that you do not have your needs met. Absolutely. But what if I have a different attitude, a different perspective toward this, to realize I'm not just trying to hold on to this. I'm trying to give this away and make a difference in other people's lives. And I know this is strange teaching in a very selfish world, but I think all of us agree today that it feels good when we give. It feels good when we give. I was getting my car washed the other day, and I wanted to tip the young man who had spent time detailing it and working on it, And I was looking for some cash. I don't generally carry a lot of cash. I meet some of y'all, you pull your pocket money out and I could pay my house note with it, you know. But I don't carry that kind of cash. But I don't know, I had a few $20 bills or whatever was the case. But I looked at what I had and I thought, I need to go get change. I need to get this broken down. I need to get this smaller, you know, so that I can give him this much smaller amount. And something prompted me that said, why don't you just give what you have? I don't know him like that. I don't know who this is. I don't know what he's going to do with it. I'm already judging. I'm already deciding what he's going to spend that money on. And you know what? That's not even my business. That's not even up to me. But man, his eyes lit up when he got that big tip. No doubt it was the biggest tip he had received today. Maybe it was the biggest tip he had received all week. Maybe it's the biggest tip he's ever received. I don't know. But you know what? Every time I pull up to that car wash, do you know who's standing there beaming with big smile waiting to detail my vehicle? It's that person that I blessed. That person that I was able to make some small difference in their life on that particular day. Why? Because I am Christmas. I'm not wearing a red suit or one of those funny hats, but I just know down inside I have the ability. I have the ability to make a difference in someone's life, because the real value of life, the real value of my life wasn't determined by how much I could keep in my pocket on that particular day. It was determined by how much I could give to someone else. It feels good when we do something for other people. It feels right. Man, I know you know what I'm talking about. When you give something and you just leave and there's just something inside of you that is swelled, just, you know, your chest is just out, your shoulders are squared, and you just feel so good. And then you get onto yourself like, you're not supposed to feel that. You know, no, that feeling is the reward. That feeling is the acknowledgement. That feeling is the exclamation point that says, you did the right thing. You did good. And not only should you be proud and thankful that you had the opportunity to give it, that you had the chance to do something, that you had the means to do something, but I promise you today that God likes it as well. He likes it. You see, the goal of life before Christ is to find Christ, but once I cross the line of faith, then the goal is, how can I leverage my life for others? So, if I am Christmas and I'm supposed to give, which parts am I supposed to give? Should I just focus on the good parts? Should I just focus on, you know, the right things? No, I don't think so at all. I think we ought to be willing to give everything. I believe you can give your struggles. I believe there is something to be learned in your failures and something to be learned from your pain and something to be learned from your education. It's everything. What if I realize that I am a gift, even my struggles, not just the parts of me you see on the stage, not just the pastor parts of me, but every part of me has value. And too many of us, we're sitting here thinking, no, I don't have anything to give, and I cannot be Christmas, you know. I can't be Christmas. Now, if you want to do a message called I Am Halloween, I'm your boy, you know, but I don't feel like I've got much to give because I have so many struggles in my life. No, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Every bit of you, every part of you has value. Everything that you've survived, everything that you've been through, everything that you've dealt with in your life, all of it has value. Because when we get to the end of our lives, I believe we're going to have to answer two questions. It's the two question test. If you're taking notes today, write these down because I really think they're going to help you. If you want to type them into your phone or wherever you like to keep your notes, I think these are important today. The two question test, because at the end, and there will be an end, hopefully not soon, but I'm pretty sure the death rate is still 100%. Everyone is going to die at some point, and we're going to answer two questions. And I'm going to help you cheat today, and I'm going to give you the questions and the answers, because I'm helpful like that. I am Christmas. Question number one, what did you do with Jesus? That's the first question that we're going to answer. What did we do with Jesus? You can hear him saying, I sent my son to pay for your mistakes. I sent salvation into your life. I sent the opportunity to come to me. All you that are weary and heavy laden, you realize today that demands a response. Today may be your first time at the church at Covington. Maybe this is your first time in an atmosphere like this, and I'm sorry to put it on you like this, but once I hear the truth, I am obligated to respond to the truth. I know that's old-fashioned, but I'm obligated. Once I hear better, then I am responsible. Once I know better, then I am responsible to do better. So what did you do with Jesus? Well, I came to a building every Sunday and we talked about your son. That's a good thing to do, but it's the wrong answer. It's a good thing to do. But the goal of salvation is not just to come to church every week. I hope that you do. It's a part of your spiritual health and well-being, but it is not the answer. How can I make a difference? Matthew 7, 21, 2 and 3, Jesus says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do, everyone say do. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. And the reality is, if I do not answer the first question right, I'll never get to the second question. Because question one is, it has to do with the white throne judgment that determines where I will spend eternity. What did you do with Jesus? That is going to determine where you will spend eternity. one of two options. It's eternity with the Lord in heaven, or it's eternity in damnation, separated from all things godly, holy, and righteous. So if I don't answer the first question, then I have to deal with that, because question two isn't a saved or unsaved judgment, but rather a reward judgment. A reward judgment. I don't have an explanation for all of it. It's way above my pay grade. But when we get to heaven, I know we talk about stars and our jewels and our crown and things like that. I don't know exactly how all of that works. We're going to talk about some of those high and lofty theological things in 2019, and I'm excited about bringing some of that to you and working through that and answering some of those questions. But there is some kind of a reward system in heaven, and there's somehow all of that works, and that's where question two comes in. It's not a saved or unsaved thing, but rather this reward thing. And you see this in the Bible. Let me give you just a few verses. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we all must stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whether we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Matthew 16 and 27, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. Going to be judged according to what we do. Revelation 22 and 12, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. So I have to settle question one. We can help you with that today if you're ready to settle that question, if you know how you want to respond to Jesus and his gift of salvation. We can help you with that today. And then this is what the next question looks like. Question two is, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave to you? Jesus is saying, I gave you a life. I gave you time. I put you in the greatest country in the world. Whether you are here by birth or whether you are here by immigrant status, I put you in the greatest country of the world, meaning you are in the most blessed nation in the world. You could be the poorest person in the country and still be so much more wealthy than so many other people around the world. It's not something to be bragging about. It's something to be thankful for. I put you in air-conditioned houses and cars and gave you schools to learn in. I've blessed you massively. I've blessed you incredibly. Remember, life is not about how much I achieve or accumulate, but how much I give away for eternal purposes. Like who was willing to work in the parking lot? Who was willing to serve church kids? Who was willing to give themselves away? Who was willing to just expend the energy? Because this second question is throughout the Bible. What did you do with what I gave you? Jesus taught it over and over. Let me read just one example, one parable, one story that Jesus told in Matthew 25. Beginning at verse 14, he said again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Verse 15, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Verse 16, the servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, verse 19 says, which literally is interpreted when they got to the end of their life, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. Look at the response of the master. The master was full of praise. "You did exactly what I wanted you to do with what I gave to you. You did exactly what I wanted you to do. You realized that you were Christmas. You realized that you were blessed to be a blessing. You realized that you had been entrusted with something very valuable. And no, you should not waste it. And no, you should not be frivolous with it. And no, you should not have been gluttonous with it. But you should invest it. You should put it to work. And that's exactly what you did." So the master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities." Verse 22, the servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been found faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities." You see the principle at work here? When you do the right thing with what God gives to you, he says, "I'm going to give you much more of it. I'm going to bless you in greater ways because you did the right thing with what I gave to you." Then the servant, verse 24, with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man." Wait, what? "I knew you were a harsh man." You see, his view of the master determined his response. His view of God determined how he handled what God had given to him. He said, "You're a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Here's your money back. I'm just gonna give this back to you." And the master replied, "Lazy servant. You didn't do the right thing with what I gave to you." You see, nothing will determine how you live your life more than your view of God. And if you view God today as someone who is trying to keep you down or trying to hurt you or always trying to punish you, or if you're scared of God, I hope that you are not today. And yet I realize that is a very real thing because of various upbringings and different ways. You know, I've counseled with people who were hurt incredibly by people in ministry or people who represent God. And so to this day, they struggle in their view of God because what a person did or what an individual did or what someone said to them. "Listen, I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know that healing sometimes comes slowly, but hear me. Don't allow anyone who represents God to determine your total view of God. It's right and it's good to honor people who represent God. But listen, at the end of the day, there is no man, there is no woman who can distort how I really feel about God or change my opinion toward God. I may change my opinion about that individual, but listen, God has done too much for me personally. God has been too good to me personally. I know that it wasn't him or her that caused me to be blessed. It was the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from my Father above, and that is where I stand." But he said, because I knew you were a harsh man. No, no, no. It's his goodwill to bless you. He said, you didn't do enough with what I gave to you. We must have the right view of God, but we also want him to have the right view of us. We want him to see us as people that he can bless, people that he can use. So I want him to see me as Christmas. I came and gave my life. I was born of a virgin. I came and did all of this so that I could raise up Brian. I could raise up Spencer. I could raise up Daniel. I could raise up Don. I could save people. I could make a difference in people's lives. Now, what are they going to do with the gift that I gave to them? How are they going to respond to the gift that I gave to them? You see, Jesus brought joy to you and I so that we can be joy to the world. We can all sing like Whitney. We can all lift up our voice and say, there is no one greater. It is joy to the world. Because the reality is, every single one of us, we have more than we think we have. Every single one of us, we have more than we think that we have. Doesn't matter how small the amount in your pocketbook. Doesn't matter how small the amount in your emotional tank. Each of us have more than we think we have. Not just monetarily, but emotionally and mentally and spiritually. I would challenge you today to stop seeing yourself as less than, or as a failure, or as a problem, or as a burden. You have something to give today. A blessing to be. You are a difference waiting to be made. That's why the final step of our Discover Church is now. You're equipped. Go make a difference. Make a difference. It's what all of us are striving for and reaching for and trying to get to. So let's settle question number one today. What will you do with Jesus? In this season, on this gift of today, what about the Lord? What are you going to do with him? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to settle question one before we move further with question two. People in this house today that maybe you're sitting here saying, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I don't know, there's been different times, seasons, stages in my life that I've thought I had what I needed, or, you know, was doing the right thing and get off track. I lose my way. I get off the right path and find myself struggling spiritually. Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I've gone to church some, but I don't know that I've ever really answered that question about what I need to do with Jesus. But today I want to make that choice. It's a personal choice. It's an individual choice. It's my choice. There's nothing more important than this choice. If you're in this room today and you would say, you know what, I want to answer question number one correctly. I want to give my life to Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up in this room today? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I see hands lifting all over this room. I want to make a choice today. I want to make a decision today. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. I want everyone to pray with me today, not just those hands that were lifted. I don't want theirs to be the only voice. I want every voice lifted in this room today. You can borrow my words if you're not sure which words to pray. Just say, Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for making the difference in my life. Today, I make the choice to give my life to you. Today, I want you to own everything in my life. Maybe you're picking up pieces, Lord, but I'm trusting you to put them back together again. I repent of my sin. I say yes to you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand clap for people? Come on! The Bible said the angels rejoice over one person who repents. Woo! Yeah! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Baptizing people today, if you want to be baptized, if you're scheduled to be baptized, start making your way toward this side of the building. Miss Dale may be in here. Our greeters can help you today. Start preparing yourself. If you're here and you want to be baptized, if you are making a choice to be baptized today, maybe you just lifted your hand and settled question number one. You know what? Take the next step and be baptized today. Just be bold. Just do it. Just say, you know what? I didn't know I was going to do this, but I'm doing this today. You can go right out this side of the building. Our greeters will help you. They'll help you. They'll get you everything that you need. Be honored to baptize you today. Amen. Amen. So what about question two? What am I going to do with what Jesus has done for me? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? You know, we have some special things we want to do this season. We talked about helping our single parents. We have a number of single parents, over 20, that are a part of this house, a part of our church. We want to make a difference. It's just always been in Kristen and I's heart. I was raised by a single mom with three kids, and I told you last week she'd give me a few dollars and she'd be on this aisle and I'd be on that aisle and I'd be looking for what she wanted and I'd take it to the counter and pay for it with her money. Sometimes single parents, they work hard to make sure their kids have and no one gives to them. You know what? We as a church want to give to them. Isn't that good? We want to give to them. We want to give to them. I'm going to need some ushers to help me here in just a moment. A basket or however we want to do this today. I'll let you decide, but we need to get moving. But you know what? Got an opportunity to do something today extra special. I happen to know of one of our single parents in the house who has been having some vehicle challenges, car challenges. It's a crazy story. I don't even know that I know every detail of the story, but just crazy stuff happened. And I just know they've been renting a vehicle just to get around, just to get work, just to get kids where they need. They've been renting a vehicle for the last 30 or 40 days. Anybody know what that cost? It's a lot, renting a vehicle. And today, someone said, let's donate a vehicle to someone who needs it. You got that picture? Miss Lydia, that's your car on that screen. That's yours. That's your car. That fires me up. Listen. She's crying. Don't look at her. Don't bother her. Let her just sit with Jesus a minute. Sometimes when you've struggled and struggled and struggled and wrestled and keep doing the right thing and keep putting one foot in front of the other. Now listen, Miss Lydia, it's not a brand new car, okay? There's a couple little cosmetic things and we cleaning it up. We're going to get it just as good as we can get it. There may be somebody here that wants to help me with some of that, but listen, all I know is every time we turn the key, it starts right up and it works good. The radio works. The CD works. I mean, it's a car. Doesn't that feel good? Yeah, yeah. Feels good to give something away. You may be saying, Pastor Darrell, you don't even know what it is. I know. We don't know every need that's here today. But I guarantee you the Bible is true that when you celebrate someone else's blessing, God will make sure you get your blessing as well. When you invest in someone else's miracle, God said, I'll make sure you get the miracle that you need as well. I'm telling you, I prophesy, we're going to be a car giving away church. We're going to give cars away. I want to buy a house for someone. I can't do that kind of stuff by myself. I need some folk that will say, you know what? We are Christmas. We're going to make a difference for people in this community. We're going to make a difference for single moms. We're going to make a difference for single dads. We're going to make a difference for unwed mothers. We're going to help people. Because that's what the church does. What the church does. What the church does. That's what the church does. We don't just talk about it. We do it. We do it. We do it. So I'm asking you today to be a blessing to some single parents. Our ushers are coming to